Usually during Christmas, you're going to hear messages about peace, love, and joy. But the reality of Christmas is that many times we feel disbelief, loss, and anxiety. With Houston First Church of God, we're going to get together and talk about how we really feel during Christmas. And we're going to talk about how Jesus can absolutely change our reality. Hi, I'm Tim, and I'm the pastor of the Houston First Church of God. And I want to invite you to come and experience the reality of Christmas with HFC.
Amen. At this time, the ushers are going to come forward and hand each of you some candles that you can light as we pass along the way. And then burn each other next to one another as we try to share the glory of God. Amen. Just kidding. We're not doing candles. Give me a break here. If you've been around for this series here, we've been talking about the reality of Christmas, and many times we want it to look like the Christmas cards, but it looks like life, right? And early on in the series, I shared with you a little bit about just what a terrible experience it was doing the candles at the midnight, you know, Christmas Eve service. And it was funny. So, like, I was talking to my mom afterwards about it, and she said, "I was never afraid you were going to burn down the building. I was just afraid you were going to light someone else on fire," right? By the way, that song, like our worship team killed that song. Right? That's a good thing, by the way. Like, that was really, really awesome. You know, it just makes me wonder, like, what that silent night may have actually kind of been like. You know, maybe it wasn't quite like we had have anticipated. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it had a little different feel to it than than the song that we normally sing. And so what I want to do today as we celebrate the birth of a Savior together is I want to absolutely ruin that song for you today. But like in a good way, because I think that there's some really great truth that we can pull and that we need to be aware of so that we don't get lost in what we think we ought to be feeling, what we think we ought to be doing, but what is it that Jesus coming to this earth actually means to our lives, right? And so rather than just kind of sing the songs and do the things, like, I want to actually get into it a little bit and talk about some of the messaging we may be getting and maybe some of the messaging we should be getting during this season of Christmas. And so before we jump into that, if you would pray with me. God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be with you today. God, it's great that we get to be with one another and we get to be with family, that we maybe get to be around a tree at some point. But God, we come before your throne today, God. We come into your presence and you are the audience that we worship, God. You are the one that we glorify today, God. You're the reason why we're here. And so, Lord, as we open up your word today, I ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to hear from you. I ask, Lord, that my words would be your words today, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, and that we might all be open and willing, Father, we'd be daring enough to say yes to you, no matter how it is you might be challenging us today. Help us, Lord, that we would surrender ourselves before you even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the very first verse, like we're gonna go through the song verse by verse here, and it's gonna be a lot of fun here. So the very first verse, right? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, just like your pastor, right? Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. What I want us to think about is, what is it exactly that this verse in particular is communicating to us about what it means to be holy, right? To me, when I say the church, I don't necessarily mean the congregation, but sort of the big C church, the church that I grew up in, the church that was sort of the predominant religious culture, if you will, as I was growing up. To me, the church kind of communicated that if you were holy, if you were one who was really seeking after God, then you were one who was silent and calm and bright, right? Maybe you were a part of congregations that maybe didn't come out and say that, but you just sort of got the feel that if I don't look a certain way, right? If I don't sound a certain way, if I don't have a certain look on my face, well, then I don't know that I'm really the target audience for this particular congregation, right? And what I want us to just consider for a little bit, because again, I'm not mad at the guy who wrote Silent Night here. I mean, it was great. We all have, you know, wonderful memories and all that kind of stuff. But what I can't allow is that we might allow some messaging that was never from Scripture to actually enter into our minds and to change how it is that we interact with God. What I can't allow is that there might be some kind of untruth that the devil might use to speak into our lives to tell us that we're not good enough because we're not calm enough. We're not good enough because we're not bright enough. We're not good enough because we're not silent enough. And what I want us to do today is just take a moment to look at, like, what does holy look like in the Bible, right? We look at people like Abraham. Like, I think we would all say Abraham was holy, right? I mean, he's the forefather of the faith. And yet he was, he prepared for radical obedience to God, right? It wasn't just like he didn't kind of slide into this thing. Like he did some like unbelievable things in terms of taking these steps. And let's be honest, like in his pursuit of that, he didn't always make righteous choices either, right? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying, right? I'm not saying that it doesn't matter what kind of choices you make. I'm not saying you can be holy and just do whatever you want to do, but I am saying that it's possible that you can have some unrighteous things in your past and still choose to become a person who is seeking after God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you can be forgiven of your sins and live holy for God and pursuing Him with everything that you have. Like, I am saying you can have some stuff in your past and still be one who chooses to go after Jesus with all of your heart, right? I mean, think about it, like Moses, like was literally like one of the biggest things we know about Moses is how he dealt with insecurities from his past, right? Paul had to deal with tremendous disunity from within the church and also persecution from those outside the church. You think that was silent, calm, and bright? Peter had to work through his own cultural biases in terms of ministering even to those who were not Jewish people, right? Even Jesus, I mean, if you think about it, like, who is the better example for us of what it is to be holy, and yet every time you open the New Testament and read a story about Jesus, there's something messy going on. There's something, he's doing something you don't expect. He's saying something you never saw coming. Everything was different about the way Jesus did stuff. And most people of that day would not have described him as silent, calm, or bright, right? The reality is that life is messy. Amen. I know it's Christmas morning. Maybe you're a little slow here this morning. I'll amen myself if I have to. But the reality is, I know that we all have some mess in our lives. And if you're not living it right now, I promise, I know you have at some point in your life. And what I would just want you to hear today is that even if life doesn't feel silent, calm, and bright, you can still walk with Jesus. You can still follow Him with all of your heart, even if everything around you seems like it's falling down. Like, I need you to know you can live holy by going after God. You can. And you might think to yourself, like, oh, Pastor, if you knew, you wouldn't be saying that. Well, I'm telling you right now, I might not know you, but I know me. And I praise God for the fact that He has made me a different person. And I'm thankful for the fact that each and every one of you are probably sitting next to somebody that you could turn to and they could tell you how they are so much different now than they used to be. Not because not because of things that they have done necessarily, but because of how God has changed their lives, because of the faith that they have put in Jesus. And I'm just letting you know right now, your life doesn't have to be silent and calm and bright in order for you to put your faith in Jesus and to walk in holiness, pursuing him with everything that you have, right? That's just verse 1, right? Verse 2 then. Verse 2 says, silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing, alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. You want to know what wasn't silent on that night? Worship. Worship was not silent on that night. In fact, worship was so not silent that those shepherds were traumatized by it, right? Angels showing up everywhere, singing glory to God and everything. And their message was, Christ the Savior is born. They weren't quiet about it. They weren't keeping it to themselves. They were proclaiming the good news that Jesus, the Messiah, is here. Now, I cannot wait for y'all to hear Charlie Flanagan preach next week on worship, right? He is going to be talking about what it is and why we do it and what it looks like and all this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, like you are going to want to be here for that so you can even process. There's so much that we need to really think through when it comes to how we worship and what we do when we worship and what all this stuff even means anyway, right? Like, I so hope that you're all going to be able to be here next Sunday for that as well. But you are going to hear, and this is what I want you to understand in this. I'm going to do my best not to preach Charlie's sermon next week, right? But the reality is, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. The reality is you are going to hear noise in your life. You're going to hear the noise of hopelessness. You're going to hear the noise of anxiety. You're going to hear the noise of loneliness. You're going to hear the noise of the enemy trying to tell you that you're never going to be good enough. You're going to hear the noise of your history telling you you're never going to be anybody different. You're going to hear all of that noise coming at you. But what we need to do is we need to worship in spite of the noise. We need to proclaim, you know what? Christ is Lord, no matter what kind of noise is going on. Even when it's not a silent night, I'm still going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm going to be loud about it. I'm going to make sure that if the devil's going to try to tell me something, that I take my opportunity to tell him a thing or two as well. See, when the noise comes, we've got to be sure that we are not silent, but that we are worshiping God. And our worship doesn't just need to happen in spite of the noise. I would encourage you that your worship ought to be louder than the noise. I mean, not that it's a competition, but I do really love competition, right? By the way, little side note, I did win that cookie decorating contest. I told you I was going to, and I didn't pay her anything for it either. But it doesn't really matter that I won and everybody else was going after second place. That's not even a thing. The point is that competition is real. And there is a competition for your mind and for your heart, right? And now here's what I need you to, again, don't hear what I'm not saying, all right? The enemy is already defeated. Amen, Pastor. Come on now. Jesus has already won the victory on the cross, right? When Jesus died and was risen again, like the victory was already won. But even in that, there is competition for what you are going to believe in your mind. And I want you to win that competition. I want Jesus to win that competition. And that means that when the devil starts talking in one ear, your worship ought to get even louder. Your worship ought to exceed everything that's coming in there. And that might mean you got to keep on worshiping until you go to sleep at night. Right? But you make sure that worship gets you all the way through that noise. You don't stop. You don't stop that worship. until you get to that place where you believe it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here, I need you to hear this real quick. Thank you, Lord. I need you to hear this real quick. That sometimes you are going to be worshiping God in a way that you don't entirely believe at first. Hear this now. This is really, really important. This is why I think it's so important for us to gather corporately to sing together, because sometimes you're going to be sitting here on a Sunday morning and you're going to be singing a song, and as you're singing it, you're going to be like, I don't know if I'm really feeling that right now. There's going to be songs that you start and there's a verse in there where you're just like, ooh, I really wish I believed that today. And what I want to encourage you with is that even when you're worshiping, maybe you begin to worship God with a word or a song, maybe there's a scripture, and as you begin to worship God, at first you don't necessarily believe it. And I just want to encourage you, you keep on worshiping God until you do believe it. You keep on worshiping God until the truth of His word fills you more than the lies of the enemy. You keep on worshiping God even when you're not entirely sure of how this whole thing works out. Like, our worship will lead us to His truth. And sometimes we may not feel everything that we praise Him with, but when we keep on praising through that, when we keep worshiping through that noise, He will remind us of His truth. Let me get on out of here with this third verse here, all right? This last one is Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, Love's Pure Light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. I think it's really, really important for us to recognize that Jesus isn't Lord because He earned it. Let that sink in for a second. Jesus isn't Lord because He earned it. He's Lord because He is it. Amen. before He was potty trained, He was the Lord. Come on now. Before he could walk around and bust his head on the corner of a manger, He was Lord, right? But before He started making messes, like trying to feed Himself, He was the Lord. Even when He got left at the temple, right? He was the Lord. He didn't wait to be Lord once He died on the cross. No, He was Lord at His birth, not because He did anything, but because He was that thing. Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is the message that the angel spoke to the shepherds, right? And notice, the angel did not say, today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He will be the Messiah, the Lord. No, it says He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. It happened when He was born. That is who He is. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Watch now what this messenger is going to say. He's going to say, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. Here's what I need you to see here. This messenger who we see is John the Baptist, who's preparing this way for Jesus to come. He's preparing the way before Jesus does anything. Before Jesus picks disciples, before Jesus performs miracles, before Jesus heals and delivers people, before Jesus does anything, John the Baptist is there to prepare the way for the Lord. He was the Lord before He did anything. He wasn't Lord just because he does for us. He was Lord because that is who He is. Oh, but Pastor, I'm just not seeing God do anything in my life. I'm not seeing God do what I need him to in my marriage. I'm not seeing God do what I need him to in my kids. I'm not seeing God do what I need him to at work or at school. God, I'm not seeing God do bring the healing that I need in my life. Like, I'm not seeing God provide financially for my family. Like, I'm just not seeing God do these things that I need. And church, I just want to encourage you today, if we are going to trust Jesus with our lives, it ought not to be for what he can provide for us, like he's some sort of magic genie, right? If we're going to trust God with our lives, it should be because we recognize that he is the Lord. We put our faith in him, not because of what he does for us. It's not he's not some sort of investment that we're making. Let me see here. If this stock is going to bring enough interest, then maybe I'll put my money there. Like, if it helps me enough, then maybe I'll put my life there. No, Jesus is not some sort of investment that you make hoping that it'll pay off for you in the end. No, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And even if he never does anything for you, he's still the way and the truth and the life. Even before he could walk, he was Lord. Even before he could die, he was Lord. And when he rose from the dead, he proved to each and every one of us, he is Lord. He is. And that the good news in all of that is, even if you don't see him, he's still there. Even if you don't feel him in a certain way, he still is. Like he's still able. He can still forgive you. Like even if you haven't been doing for him, he's still able to be Jesus for you. Like, I need you to get this today, because sometimes I wonder if we're not trying to earn our way into heaven, just like we're making Jesus earn his way into being the Savior, right? Like, I'm just letting you know, you don't have to earn your way in there. All you have to do is just be who he recreated you to be. You need to trust that he can change your life, and he will do it. The noise of the world is constantly active, but it will ultimately lead to death and to hopelessness and to selfishness. But in Joel chapter 2 and verse 33, Joel 2 verse 32, it says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, church, we can't be silent. We have to call on the name of the Lord, not because he's some sort of genie, but because God has sent his son to save us from ourselves. Like, we don't have to live hopeless. We don't have to live depressed. We don't have to live frustrated by everything that's going on around us. We can live in the peace, love, and joy that God has for us in a relationship with Jesus. But it comes as we call on his name. We can't be silent. We have to call on him. I want to invite our worship team to come on back up. And as they do, I want to encourage you to recognize that your life may feel a long way from silent, calm, and bright. But that doesn't change that Jesus is who he said he is. It doesn't change that he can do what he said he can do. It doesn't change any of that. You can still give your life to him. He can still be the Lord of your life as well. It comes down to, are you willing to submit yourself to him? Are you willing to acknowledge and to accept that you're a sinner who needs a Savior? I want you to know, like I have acknowledged that I have sinned in my life. And if it's not for Jesus, I have no hope. I can't fix my own life. I certainly can't fix my eternity. And the only way that I can really be alive, the only way that I can really have that joy in my heart is by knowing that he is my Savior. My sin required that I be saved, right? And what I have to do is I have to believe that Jesus is my Savior. What we have to do is to believe, not just believe in the spirit of Christmas, but to believe in Jesus, who was born in a manger and died on a cross and rose on the third day that we might be set free. Not just from sin, but from all the consequences that come with it as well. Like, we can be set free in relationship with Jesus. It's a matter of simply confessing to those around us and even to the Lord. God, I am going to follow after you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't even necessarily know what that means right now. I don't know what that looks like right now. But Lord, I'm willing to follow you to figure it out. I want to invite you. Maybe you've never decided to follow Jesus before. Maybe this idea of peace and joy in your life sounds like really, really cool, but you've never really thought that that was ever going to be reality for you. Maybe it's because your life doesn't seem silent, calm, and bright, and I'm just letting you know you can have everything that Jesus has for you. It's a matter of just simply submitting to him and saying, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And Jesus, you are the only way. If you would, stand with me. What I want you to really wonder about today, what I want you to ask yourself is, how are you going to call on his name? How are you going to call on his name? I don't have to ask, are you hearing the noise? I know you're hearing the noise. We're all hearing the noise. How are you going to call on his name? Are you going to decide even today, you know what? I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Maybe as we sing this song, you just want to come to an altar of prayer and say, you know what? I want to submit my life to God right now. And I want to let him know, God, I need you to save me. I need you to fill me. I need you to change me, right? Like, this is a time where maybe you've got somebody right beside you who brought you here today that you just say, you know what, I don't know what I'm even asking for, but I want what he's talking about. Can you pray with me that I might be able to receive that too? Like as we sing this song together, I want to invite you, like, let the Spirit of God work in your life even now. Pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father, that you are at work. Thank you, Lord, that even when my life isn't quiet, God, you are present and you are willing to change me. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us, Father, to admit even now that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, help us to believe enough to take a step of faith that we might call on your name even today. Help us, Father, we might confess that you alone are our Lord and our Savior, that you would change our lives forever. Lord, we celebrate you today, not only in our gathering, but in our responding. Have your way, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.